Backseat Producers, episode 294, Gravity.
Watching the story of film, this documentary on.
You sent me those movies. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's watch this, and I never did it.
I've actually been watching the actual documentary, yeah. But I've been watching it on Netflix, and I've been like 9 episodes to the 15 episode series.
Yeah.
And they're starting to get into like 60s, 70s cinema.
And it's getting good.
There was one that they suggested.
Chop on Show was good.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
so was Kurosawa. Oh yeah, that's right. I've watched.
Yeah, but that.
The Conversation with Gene Hackman. It's a Coppola movie.
Well, Coppola movie.
Oh yeah.
It's called The Conversation.
Oh,
Francis Ford Coppola, not Sophia.
First of all, you know how I feel about Sophia Coppola.
I know.
When you said The Conversation with Gene Hackman, I was like, yeah. What about
it? No, the movie is called The Conversation. It stars Gene Hackman. Francis Ford Coppola made it.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, wasn't that, what's his name? John Cazale? Wasn't he? Wait, that's his name, right?
The guy that made
5 movies and they were all nominated for Oscars and then he died.
That sounds like a bad run. That sounds like
paying back karma. He was in.
That sounds like paying back karma. Yeah. That's him.
And then he was in The Godfather 2, and then he was in The Conversation.
Who is it?
Oh, he dodged a bullet.
And then he died a tragic, and then he married Meryl Streep, and then he died. So it was like, this guy must be the greatest actor ever because he only did Oscar-nominated movies.
Oh, that guy.
He made a deal with the devil at a crossroads.
He was also in...
Tony?
Yeah, he must have. He was also in Dog Day Afternoon.
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. That's a great movie.
Weren't you here for that? You were here for that conversation, weren't you? Or was that one of the ones you were out for?
I'm going to skip that because it sounds
dumb. Dog Day Afternoon?
That's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
I don't remember seeing it.
Jesus Christ. He was in Godfather, The Conversation, Godfather Part 2, Dog Day Afternoon, Deer Hunter, and then they dragged out archival footage of him for Godfather 3. He played Fredo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so he did.
He did die in Godfather
3. He didn't dodge the bullet.
No, he did
but
die.
But he did dodge the bullet of Godfather 3.
Yeah.
He dodged the bullet by not having to actually act in it. But goddamn, those are some great movies. All 6 films were nominated for Best Picture. 3 of them won.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good record. Kind of like my podcasting record.
2 of them are still going.
2.
So the point of this documentary is just to talk about movies?
It is the story of film. It talks about film and film techniques and history and influence and some of the great films. And it's actually really interesting.
I don't know how you can have a movie like this. Start back at the beginning because Michael Bay doesn't show up until like the 90s.
It's showing step by step how we get to Michael Bay.
How we get to Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
That's the apex.
You know,
the 15th episode is called Revenge of the Fallen.
It's the best movie ever. Oh my god.
It's actually not, but being a killjoy. Yeah,
listen,
I know.
John Turturro has a line, I'm directly beneath the enemy scrotum. Listen, probably the penultimate line ever uttered in a movie.
Behind. All right. Ooh, Old Boy is on here.
By the way, after World War Z, the book, you know, all those people who bitched about how the movie didn't have anything to do with the book.
From what I heard, he couldn't. Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
Fuck those people. The movie was fine. The book was great. HBO miniseries of the book, like, with the same energy they put in the Game of Thrones, would be fantastic. If Netflix could do it, too.
You know, I was thinking about Ender's Game. I would love to see somebody do a miniseries, like a 12-episode series, miniseries of Ender's Game, and build that trust and faith in the game and in Ender and in the higher-ups, and then the last two or three episodes, just shit all over
it. Yeah, just shit everywhere. Yeah. Fucking. The thing with World War Z, so it's told as a series of interviews of people after the war about things that happened during the war.
Right.
So the cast is all great. Like, they've got Martin Scorsese, they've got John Turturro, I mean, they've got a ton of fantastic people doing these things, and they're, like, so they're all personal stories. So they're all vignettes from people around the globe. It would be a perfect multi-director thing, I mean, because each one is pretty layered and it's real human. It would be an awesome miniseries. And Netflix has the variable length stuff to do it right.
Yeah, you don't have to. You could have a 5-minute episode or a 30-minute episode or a 2-hour long episode or whatever, you know.
I highly recommend you read it. Or at least I highly recommend you listen to it. They've got fucking Odo reads one, Tony.
Nice.
Odo reads one. How excited I was. I was like, oh my god, that's goddamn Odo. Shh. Here he comes.
It's that crazy list.
What's going on?
What, castle?
Yes.
I can see it.
So you're stooking up on Quidditch.
Yeah. Ah, man. A butch lesbian in line, like, it was clear she was pissed that I got there at 8:30 because they close at 10. So she's like, well, fuck this guy. I'm just going to give him the biggest portions of everything possible. And I was like, god damn, I love you.
Unfortunately, the love is not returned.
I had a free burrito on the card, and you know what? I didn't use it. I paid for it.
Ooh.
That's how much I appreciated it. It was a conscious decision on my part.
Whoa. It's tender.
All right, so we were talking, and I think we're going to do the conversation. Gene Hackman.
Is it Netflixable?
It is Netflixable.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I did it.
Okay, your conversation. It's a big classic.
Yeah, the actual, that documentary is actually called The Story of Film, An Odyssey. And it feels like it.
I read Odyssey once. Tony, I read Odyssey.
I did.
It's good. The Odyssey was rough in only one part. The fucking dog dies. That's a cold shit.
It's always rough when the dog dies.
I'm becoming increasingly sensitive to the pet angle. I don't like it.
Your Melina's rubbing off on you.
Yeah, not in a good way.
All right. We ready?
I think we're ready.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Jolie.
And this is David.
We're the Backseat Producers.
Hey.
Hey, Jolie, so who are you?
Yeah, there's four of us.
I just showed up, and then you guys were just sitting here. And I, well, I am a former listener now, participant.
Yeah, you don't listen anymore now.
Yeah, of course not.
You stop listening.
There's no reason to now.
That's why I did so many podcasts, because I hate listening to them.
But what I learned was... is that all it takes is if you want to be in a podcast, you just show up. So
that's how it happens.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing that you're award winning now.
Well, it's a dangerous precedent. So, you know, I may start to try to bang on some doors. But yeah, that's how I ended up here. Well, and then I met Tony and Archon, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. You showed up to the room.
Yeah.
And somebody was drunk and invitee.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm invitee when I'm sober.
Yeah,
I just happened to be drunk at the time.
That's true.
Also, I thought you knew her beforehand. So.
Nope,
not really.
Well, you do now, Tony.
There was like two comments on the message on the comments page.
Yeah, Tony, I don't go there.
Yeah, most of the time, all it takes is like showing up. See, show up at Archon.
Do you live close enough?
Yeah. I think that was part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Are you local?
Are you local? You never know at a convention.
That's true.
Lena flies in from Florida.
Stingray from Denver. So apparently, my exploits...
Peyton lost to the Colts? That's crazy!
Apparently, my exploits in playing Lords of Waterdeep while being incepted made its way to the Way of the Game podcast, where Stingray just had to tell stories about me.
Yeah, you were very surly.
It was...
Midway through, I was like, is this what I'm like when I get drunk? Nah. If it is, I don't care.
I was having a good time. I didn't care.
You were. I know.
I didn't care about anybody else. I was having a great time.
You told me you were having a good time a lot.
I was telling everybody.
Yeah, tell people in the hall, people back in the room.
It was, and I was sitting in the room telling people in the hall.
Oh, God.
All right.
That was a good introductory talk.
Yeah.
That turned to dark on it. Yeah, you want me to, like,
Well, I mean, you know, I accomplished nothing that weekend except I got pretty drunk, and so...
Then you accomplished everything
we did. I accomplished absolutely everything I needed to, yeah.
That's fair. Over Archon.
Was that your first Archon?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No longer an Archon virgin.
That's right. That's right. I had never been before, but a friend of mine said, hey, I'm going. Do you want to go? And I said, yeah, I think that I do. So
the rest was history.
I guess so, yeah.
I didn't see any friend of you. Did they not show up? Or
no, she was there. She was there. She, you know, she
got scared by Sausage Fest.
Well, yeah.
It's a really rapey idea. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, she's a go-to-bed early type, so, you know.
Hey, as far as I know, zero harassment at Sausage Fest.
Zero harassment at Sausage Fest. There are people at Archon that I've harassed at other conventions. That chick who dressed up as Leia every year, I told her at VisionCon that she was on my, sleeping with her was on my bucket list. She's like, oh, honey, I'm like 20 years older than you are. Oh, well, is that a yes? Is that a soft yes?
I'm not hearing the word no yet.
Yeah. No, no. No con security. I think we're good to go here. I knew her beforehand.
Yeah. All right.
There was no actual harassment other than my normal harassment to my friends, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Is this supposed to make me feel better?
No.
Like, all right.
It's just warning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've
the more
been
comfortable you, I get with you, the more harassed you will become. Sorry.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Everybody gets it.
No, I would expect nothing less.
All right. So this week we are talking about gravity.
Gravity gets me down.
And next week, the
Please
conversation.
Don't tell me you're sitting on that all week.
Yep.
Probably 2 weeks because we were supposed to do this last week.
Yeah.
Listen, Tony, I didn't have time to see it last week. Actually, I did have time. I just didn't do it.
You had like 2.5 weeks. We had actually, it was the conversation when you invited Jolie to show up where we decided that it was going to be gravity that we saw.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I just didn't do it then.
So last Monday night, I go to see it. Like 10 o'clock, I was the only person in the theater. The only one. It's been a while since I've had that experience.
It happens to me all the time. But, you know, just because I show up at, because nobody goes to movies late on weeknights. It's the best time if you want to talk during a movie.
We're never seeing a movie together.
No, you don't talk during good movies. You talk during movies that are worth talking to. Through. Like, if you wanna yell at the screen while watching Fast and Furious 6, that's fun sometimes.
How naked is Vin Diesel on the scene?
He is, what, tank tops? That's about as,
that's
as
not
much as you're gonna get. Yeah.
No
well, he's no, Idris
he's
Elba.
Not as nearly as egregious as The Rock. Who
The Rock is
can
ridiculous.
No longer put his arms down. He's just gotten so, and he's covered in oil the whole time.
That's the best part.
And he's also like, he's also stopped using personal pronouns.
He's just The Rock.
I'm fine with that. Listen, when you sculpt your body like that, you know, all bets are off. You do what you want. What are you gonna do? Tell him no? Man, it could crush you.
That's true. And he's rich enough to hire the lawyers to pay off your family.
He's incredibly successful. I don't know why. Probably because he was in Mysterious Island with Louis Guzman. Because that guy is gold. That guy is Midas.
When we were at Nickelodeon Suites where we stayed, they had a 4D theater, and they showed like a 5-minute chopped up version of that movie, of Journey to...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Mysterious Island, whatever that movie was. And it was... They told the story of the whole movie in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you don't need the full movie to tell the story.
But like, they're throwing water at you. All of a sudden, it gets like super hot when they're going through lava, and it was fun.
That movie had Michael Caine in it.
I know! That was the most bizarre thing. Like, at one point, we're watching, we get done, and I was like, I think they showed us the whole movie. I don't think we need to see this movie now. And Julie said, at the end, that kid had a crutch or a splint or something on his leg. We never saw him get hurt.
Did you see the pec flex? Where he's like throwing stuff at the
yes!
bouncing off his pecs. That was the best part of the movie. That and everything with Luis Guzman.
Yes, he was good. He always is.
He always is. Goddamn Michael Caine.
I'm pretty sure you just ask him to show up and he'll show up. Anymore.
Who, The Rock or Michael Caine?
Well, both.
Both.
I'm sure both.
Because if that's the case, The Rock needs to show up for BSB recording immediately.
Give him a call right now.
I think those two guys are like drinking buddies. I can see it. And I can see Michael Caine drinking his ass under the table.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, easy.
Well, probably, because I don't think The Rock consumes anything but egg whites, probably.
Steak. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I had 2 steaks and 7 eggs for breakfast.
I had 2 dozen egg whites and
what
a carrot.
It's the pre-warm-up meal again.
I'm going to
drink at James Franco's house.
The pre-workout meal.
Boy, I would make This Is the End a different movie.
Yeah, with The Rock.
And Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Caine would be the one that survived.
This is almost as good as our Punch-Out discussion, Tony.
Maybe. It might be that good. All right. Gravity. Daryl, what'd you think?
The critics were right. This is a great movie. This is probably one of the better ones I've seen all year. I have more to say later, but
yeah.
I'll give you a heads up.
I like your short review. That's good.
And
that's
yours?
Oh, no, I agree. This was great.
Nope, that's all I got.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already seen it twice, and that's how much I liked it. I liked it so much that a couple of days after we saw it the first time, turned around, went and saw it again, and it was still really amazing the second time. So
if this is about as close as I'm going to be able to get to space travel. Before Richard Branson sells me a ticket for less than $1 million, if I can experience the whole thing for 15, this is it.
But does this movie really want to make you go to... This movie kind of makes me not want to go to space, frankly.
Right, so,
well, the thing is, any more than watching the movie Titanic would not want to make you take a cruise.
I don't want to take a cruise.
I don't want to take a cruise, man.
Wait. How much topless drawing is there?
As much as you want.
Yeah, well, we'll renegotiate the cruise.
Cinematography
and sweaty backseat of the car sex
were perfect.
I mean,
they really put the effort into
it. It wasn't easy growing up at any time. You always had to bang in the back of a car.
Even on a boat.
Even on a boat.
Sandra Bullock was at the peak of performance in terms of the physical acting she had to do, plus all the emotional changes she had to experience in the time frame of this movie that was laid out.
All right, hold on a second. Yeah. Tony, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was okay. I didn't love it. I thought parts were repetitive.
Yes.
And for as short as it was, I think they could have cut 15 to 20 minutes out of it.
It just, where? Like, what would, like, yeah, what, the whole, what do you cut, man?
The whole point when the whole story repeated itself. Because there was a section, there was like a 10-minute section that just repeated itself when the rocks were coming. And I don't know, it didn't feel... It felt like we have to hurry up and wait, so we can hurry up and wait again. And I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with that.
It was okay, but for the level of critical love that it's getting, it was okay. It wasn't bad. I think it was beautiful, gorgeous movie.
No one's arguing.
There's no argument. There's going to be no argument about that.
I even saw it in 3D, which I hate, but it was still gorgeous.
I had a little bit of problem with how they implemented the 3D, even though I didn't watch it in 3D, because I could tell how they did the 3D. Like when they were reaching for things.
Yeah.
And they did that a couple of times. Yeah, like, we're going to show off our 3D.
Tony, when things started blowing up and rocks were going all over the place, shit was flying at me. And I'm like, oh, stop it. Stop with this. Who does this impress? No one thinks this is cool. I don't want this.
The bad thing is I saw it in 2D and I could tell where the 3D was.
Yeah, but you know what? You were subjected to 3D.
No, I wasn't.
So that was better. See, like, yeah, this ivory tower of two dimensions.
See, I was forced. See, I usually don't like to watch 3D movies, and I was forced to watch it in 3D, and I actually didn't mind it that much. But then again, it's not like. Like, I remember years ago going to see Beowulf in 3D. Because
what
was,
is going on with that? That's a story.
Except that the whole movie, because it was like one of the first 3D movies to use that technology, so every 5 minutes there's something pointy that comes out at you because they're like, we have this technology, we gotta use it.
We gotta show it off. I need to double the cost of your ticket. You gotta justify it somewhere.
Right, right, exactly.
And the few, there were only a couple times where they did that. That, and part of me was broken by there was a question that was submitted to NASA astronauts a couple months back where they're like, what happens if you wring a towel out in space? Like, does the water just go everywhere? And they showed it. And they showed this guy wringing a towel out. And what it does is
it all breaks around your hand.
Yeah, it just flows in around the towel and on your hand. It does not leave. It doesn't float away. So when she cries and those teardrops float away from her face, I was like, bullshit.
Wow, Tony. You got it.
That was
my problem with the movie.
There was a Steven Spielberg-ish need to throw in this emotional story where there wasn't necessary.
Yes, that
it wasn't that was not necessary to tell the story.
My
of
kid
a dead
died on
kid.
A playground.
There was
yeah,
no, there was
what,
no,
I don't
want,
need
no, I don't
for
need
that.
This.
Yes, there was. Yes, there was because they were traveling. They were obviously traveling for a very long time. And George Clooney seemed like the kind of guy who's going to start asking questions. So I think that it was perfectly appropriate because obviously you're going to start talking about your life. And
that's fine.
One of the elements of the movie is essentially is her breaking out of her emotional shell, both spiritually, but symbolically and real.
It just pushed that cliche so far that it was like, you're better than this. You've got a better story than this. You don't need to go to this extreme emotional level. It's not necessary.
I didn't think it was necessary at all.
See, I think it was kind of necessary.
I think so, too. I mean, it kind of softens her rather hard exterior.
Yeah,
because she's been carrying around this shell for so long. And, like, you can see the interplay between her and Clooney. I mean, he's always the jokester and the prankster.
Right.
Trying to get her to smile at least not take things so seriously, and she's sitting here like straight faced, right? I'm on mission. I'm on task.
Well, she was terrified.
It seemed like he was kind of like, well, we might die, so at least let's find out a little bit about each other. And the fact that she was so serious and so straight laced. How she ended up in space, I mean, that seems like something you would want to ask about.
I kind of thought that the only reason that he even went through those motions was because she was running out of oxygen and wouldn't stop panicking, and the only reason he was talking to her was to distract her.
Sure.
And
if
calm
he
her
kept
down.
Talking, if he kept talking, she wouldn't, and she wouldn't use up her oxygen as fast.
That's kind of what I thought was happening there, and then they went into this weird dead kid plot, and I'm like, whoa. What's going on with... Why do we need this?
Because somebody that emotionally unstable doesn't seem like a really good candidate for that kind of...
She seemed awfully inexperienced to be in space.
Well, that was one of the criticisms... I don't know if you read about Neil deGrasse Tyson's
criticism. I don't read.
And that was... Yeah, yeah. But that was one of the criticisms...
I would be curious what his criticisms
were. Well, his criticisms were obviously about... Primarily about the science, like why wasn't her hair floating? All right, okay, well, I get that.
Yeah, come on. Arthur Clarke in Rendezvous with Rama, which we read as part of high school physics class,
what?
Has a chapter that describes the motion of a woman's breast in space and how fascinating it is to
sure.
men.
Sure.
Wait. Yeah. Not Sandra Bullock.
I mean, she was wearing spandex. She was wearing plenty of spandex, but yeah,
everything was.
But so it was like the hair, and then it was the fact that the ISS travels. You know, like the difference between where the Hubble is and where the ISS is.
Higher inclination.
Right. Exactly. So of course that's not realistic, and it's sort of like I can and totally
That stuff I don't care.
Yeah, I'm going to forgive all of that because I understand that it's a movie. It's not real.
We're not going to let a fact get in the way of a good story.
This is the same problem that lawyers have when they go see legal dramas, and doctors have when they see medical dramas, and police officers see when they see cop dramas.
Right.
You just have to suspend that.
Hmm. Is that how we're going to play this from now on? I'm not going anywhere with that.
No.
I just want everybody here to know that if that's how we're going to play that from now on, that's how we're going to play it.
I think you play it that way if...
I can't lean back and raise my eyebrows anymore, Tony.
What exactly are you trying to do?
I'm hanging on your
words.
Are
you trying to show me your brain through by way of your nostrils?
Yeah. Look at it. It's pulsing.
I think there's a point when if you commit to the science or you commit to the legal or you commit to the police procedural or the medical, then you have to be accurate with it. Like, if you commit to a certain level of accuracy and authenticity, then you should commit to that.
Here's the thing.
And they committed to enough that, like, they should have been right about, like, the distances where things were and that would be a little bit anal. That would be worrying about that's a little bit much. But, like, how things move in space, like how the hair moves and things like that, they took enough care to have them floating, to have things floating and have objects just randomly bouncing about. They could have done a little bit of CG with the hair and things like that. Things could have been a little better.
Here's the thing. 95% of everything is goddamn boring. There are no good stories that come out of life. That's a whole bunch of romanticization after the fact. Things are just generally not interesting. If we have to suffer through hair not floating all over the place, fine. This was at least an interesting story. It did not need a dead kid.
No, it didn't.
I disagree. I think it did need a dead kid. Or it needed something. I mean, it could have been anything.
It could have just been her overcoming her terror of space. Oh, I'm so glad she stopped doing that breathing thing like 15 minutes. Stop it. Y'all just breathe like a normal person. Oh, come on.
Well, if you were free-floating in space and you could not stop yourself.
Bad example.
That seems...
As a lifetime asthmatic, I have excellent lung control.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost every situation.
I've got pretty good lung control. I don't hyperventilate often.
I say this never having been in space or free-floating.
Right, or free-floating.
But I've held my breath. My breath underwater a lot.
In a vacuum with no friction.
I don't breathe when I drink either.
And you can't stop yourself. And you feel like you're gonna die in space. Like, how is that not gonna freak you out? I have this. I have to say this. Before I saw this movie, I have an irrational and immobilizing fear of dying in space. Now,
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a space death.
Right. Yeah.
Ticket on the Virgin One.
Sure.
Kickstarter. We're kickstarting that shit right now. Send Jolie to
send me
space.
First stretch goal.
Oh, God. So it's one of those
Punch
things
out.
Where... Right.
It's an in-flight movie.
Yeah.
Elizabeth's Wait. It's not so much about just an accident in space. It's having everything you know just kicked out from under you just all suddenly. I mean, they're out here doing their job, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And everything that they all the safety nets are just ripping to shreds.
Right.
And
apparently,
this is just survival.
Nobody can hear you scream. That's what I've
heard.
Not
very well.
That's what I've heard.
Well, they can't over the radio.
Well, yes.
Most of the time.
You're listening.
But then they lost radio contact, and that was freaky, too. So
that hole in that guy's head was awesome.
The hole in that guy's head was awesome.
That was gruesome.
So that whole beginning sequence, which lasted, and I don't know if you noticed, the first cut in the movie doesn't happen for like 17 minutes.
No.
Or
you know
something
what?
Crazy.
You know what? I heard people talking about that, and I saw where they made a cut. Because what they kept doing was they kept showing their faces,
right.
And then they would pan around them so you'd only see them from behind.
Right.
But it's all CG.
Yeah.
The suits and everything is all CG, so that's all cuts.
Well, right, but it's the difference between a sequence where there are no, you know, quote-unquote cuts and like, where they're cutting back and forth to show action. I mean, I think it's just a really, really innovative way to show action, because usually the norm is every half a second
you're cutting something out.
No, the Children of Men.
It wasn't the Children of Men cut.
Because this was the same guy.
Yes.
And
Alfonso Cuarón.
Right. So, in Children of Men,
that was a rough.
That was a really intense sequence.
Yes.
Where if they made a cut, that was brilliantly
done. There were two big sequences in that movie that were insane. Like
the one I'm talking about is the
car
chase.
There's that scene at the end.
The
building. He runs into the building, and it's all a single take. And you're like, how in the world did they do that? Because this is insane.
I don't think they did quite that with this movie. Because there was a couple of sequences where they panned through and they showed someone, and then they showed just this beautiful shot of her. The camera never moved. The camera never stopped.
Yeah, but there was a different feel here that didn't.
Felt like it was one contiguous shot. But I have a feeling that might not. I think that might have been.
I think most of it was CG anyway.
Probably.
Yeah, and I think, guys, somebody told me that the only real part of that first scene was Sandra Bullock's face. It was the only real thing that they
actually
shot.
And that's not a surprise. That's not a surprise at all.
That is true. Like, everything they did externally was completely CG except for their faces.
Yeah.
So.
No, but beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
If I believe that that's probably what it looks like. Having not been there. It was intense. Yeah.
I dug the intensity. I don't think that they needed to tack on the dead kid thing, because I think the movie was intense enough without it. Like, I didn't think they needed that. That scene with her and Clooney, when he unclips himself. That scene was already rough. It did not need a dead kid to make it any better or worse. Like, that was already done.
I didn't quite understand why he needed to unclip himself.
Considering his motion was pulling her.
That's the other criticism.
Come on. Physics.
Come on.
Yeah, that was the
physics
other criticism.
Physics don't work
that way. Tony, I thought we were suspending disbelief to get back to the story.
Because really...
I told you it would come back, Tony. I wanted you to remember the moment 5 minutes ago.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Won't be the first time.
But if we're in space, apparently it's not going to work.
It'll work. I'm just going to go flying off that way, but you're going to go flying off the other way.
If he would have pushed her back, I would have bought it more.
He couldn't push her back. He was at the end of the rope.
Yeah. Exactly. So how is just him unclipping himself going to save her?
Well,
they're floating. They have momentum.
I
think what he was trying to do was avoid. She was going to pull him back in, and that would have unhooked her foot from the rope she was tangled in, because she was just barely hanging on at the moment. Granted, it's a little hokey, because I think she could have just gently pulled him back.
Well, hold on.
If she would have bent her knee,
they would have both floated back.
Hold on. First off, the rope was the elastic nylon stuff that goes on a parachute.
Yeah.
For one. So when he unclipped himself, he reduced the full weight that it was pulling, and it was enough for it to bounce
what
back.
What pull? There was friction.
What? Anyway. No, they were both
You're assuming a force is pulling.
Their momentum was pulling. They both had momentum, and so the rope kept stretching with them, and it was was loosening off of her foot.
I didn't get that.
That's what happened.
Her foot was so tangled up in that cord. I think she could have gently.
Yeah, I don't think it was
pulled him back entirely.
There was a lot of not practical use of hands. Like, oh, my foot's there, and you're clipped onto me. All I gotta do is bend down and grab the rope, and now we're fine. But.
I don't know how easy it is to bend in a spacesuit, though.
It's not very. They're very stiff.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, I also. I mean,
you know, if we're gonna pick it apart, stiff all the time, and I seem to make it work. All right.
If we're gonna pick it apart,
we make do.
She got in and out of spacesuits rather quickly.
Yes, she did.
It was a spandex. She was oiled up.
Well, it was also
proper amount of
wearing
lube,
a few less articles of clothing that the typical space traveler would normally wear. She didn't have her thermal undergarment on, which makes it a little harder to get out of those things.
I didn't want to see her in a thermal undergarment.
I know, that's why they have her in her spandex.
I actually kind of see her bullet girl doesn't do it for me in general.
And all astronauts do wear socks, for obvious reasons.
All right, socks. So predictions for Gravity 2.
Come on, Tony.
What? She opens a falafel shop and
has her dead PTSD. Kid comes back to life.
They're and getting reports. No, they're getting reports that Clooney's still alive out there. And she's.
I actually kind of was surprised he didn't actually come back. He came in. I was like, oh, I knew this guy would be back. And then they did a weird dream thing. I was like,
Well, that was pretty screwed up right there.
Was it?
I liked it.
When he showed back up, I was like, this doesn't seem right.
Oh,
and then it was like, wait a minute. She's losing oxygen.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here.
It's a hallucination, yes. Or was it a hallucination?
What?
I mean, there's a lot of religious icons floating around in these spaceships. If you notice, the St. Christopher's medal was in the Soyuz.
Marvin the Martian.
And Marvin the Martian was in the space shuttle.
Right.
And there was a Buddha sitting on top of the Chinese Soyuz. Sure.
The dead kid could have been Jesus.
Well, the thing is, there's some speculation that the Clooney's return was not just a hallucination, per se. You could also interpret that as a little divine intervention there, like
Lady Wet Dream? It was awfully cold in there, Daryl. You know what you gotta do to stay warm.
Yeah.
It's for the mission. I know when I deprive myself of oxygen, Clooney's the first place I go.
That's fair. I almost wondered.
Analysis there.
I almost wondered at that point if they weren't somehow going to make the whole rest of the movie her death dream.
Yeah.
No, that would have been too much of a downer.
I don't need
it. It would have been too much of a downer, but it would have almost been more realistic than the ridiculous coincidences that got her through the end of the movie.
I don't think they're that ridiculous. I mean, definitely awful connected, but I don't think they're ridiculous.
The second storm of debris that came through, surviving that was ridiculous.
Are you talking about the one that destroyed the ISS?
Or the Senju?
By the way, this is the repeat that he's talking about.
That's where
you have to differentiate the second and third storm by which station did it destroy.
Yeah, which one were they at?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the destroying of the ISS was spectacular. And the fact that there was no sound during that whole sequence, was fantastic.
Like right now. No sound. I actually liked all the stuff that had like that. I'm a sucker for the upshot, like the when she's on the beach and then she stands up, and then they just pan up to her and it's just the sun in the background and her just standing there triumphant. That was an awesome shot.
Yeah,
just that whole her struggling, like her on the beach. That whole sequence from there on was perfect.
Yeah, I like that they made her struggle to stand. Like it took a force of will for her to stand up. Like if she could have even stood up at that point after everything she'd been through.
You also don't know how long she was in space.
Well, exactly, yeah.
So I'm sure the change in gravity for however long she was up there. I got the impression that she was up there for a while. I felt like they were all up there for a while.
I felt like they were up there for a while, but she didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and so in the opening shot, it's like, oh, why is this person here? It's like, this is the first time she's been in space, like, not on this trip, but, like, right now.
She's a mission specialist. They only train for one
2 minutes.
One shot deal.
It's just 2 minutes since she came out to space.
Well, she said she was a medical doctor. She developed this technology, and they were going to put it in the Hubble. So that's she went to
astronaut school.
And that's how she ended up there.
mission specialist.
This is where I stopped thinking about it because it's like I'm going to stop. I'm going to not go down this rabbit hole because it's going to break everything.
It actually does work because McDonnell Douglas did send, in the early part of the shuttle mission, did send one of their team up with his piece of equipment just for this one experiment because he was the guy who developed it.
Well, that's dumb.
No, that was the way things were done.
Yeah, that's the way things were done, but that's not the way things are done. Especially if you watch what she's doing, she is screwing in boards that clip in and unscrewing them. That is the sum total of everything she does as a specialist. Anyone on the crew could have done that. The dude with the hole in his face, after he had the hole in his face, probably could have done that.
He was too busy giving a sparkling commentary.
Yeah.
the wind rushing through the hole in his face.
There is no wind. It's space.
Solar whistle.
Solar winds. Do solar winds whistle through your face?
Yeah. Come on, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Where are you on that one?
We need to submit that as a question.
I will submit as a question. I think you'd answer it, too. That guy's got an impressive mustache. He knows what's up.
Was anybody else really damn impressed that Ed Harris was the voice of Houston?
I liked that.
Until I saw the credits.
No, I recognized his voice immediately. Because that guy's got a distinctive voice.
Maybe they're making fun of his piercing blue eyes with all the eye commentary.
So, maybe. In that you never see him?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I expected to see him, and I didn't, and I wasn't disappointed that I did not see him.
Yeah.
So there was a dangling plot throughout this movie that I thought was atrocious. I want to hear the rest of the goddamn Mardi Gras story.
I know.
Intensely. It was at a good point when they stopped it.
You didn't stay for the end of the credits?
No, I
didn't. That's where the story was.
Don't
they
say
acted
that.
It out. They don't show the whole thing.
Easter. I have to take Melina to see the movie this weekend, so...
Sitting around eating shawarma.
Oh.
Yeah.
Goddamn Avengers. It ruined everything good and holy.
Good and holy?
And by the way, Thor looks so bad.
The new Thor movie does look
bad.
But
the Winter Soldier looks so good.
I'm with you completely. Like, the first Dark World trailer looked bad, and they have not looked any better.
They just keep showing shots of other people. Look, other people are in this movie. You're going to love it. I think I am. So,
cool. I Loki movie because I do like Tom Hiddleston.
That guy's fun.
He's good. He's cool. He was on an interview and he did Owen Wilson as Loki. So he was imitating Owen Wilson doing Loki. It was great. It was really good.
When I was leaving on my way to come here, I stopped by home to medicate my cat. Lynn's like, "Hey, how was the movie?" Good? I don't know. I'll take you to see it this weekend. Well, am I going to like it? I don't know. I don't know where this is. We don't really see the dead kid.
I know.
Like, so I don't know. I don't really know where this is going to go. It's not sad, is it? No, I didn't get sad from this. Really, at any point, it didn't seem sad. I don't want to do another sad movie. There's been no sadder movie in the last 10 years than Desperately Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's fantastic. You should watch it. It's instant streaming. Michael Scott's the actor.
Steve Carell
and Keira Knightley. It's fantastic. It's rough.
All right.
Tony, it's rough.
Did you cry?
No, Tony, come on.
And did the tears roll away from your face or form little spears?
No, they turn into spears. Spears and Persians. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I will say, I did, during this movie, I cried like a little girl. So maybe, yeah.
At what point? That
wasn't the dead kid, was it?
No, not at the dead kid. But
was it her triumphant stand after crashing
the point where she was listening I can to accept the guy that. On the radio.
Was it when she was floating off into space?
Yeah, it was the guy on the radio. Yeah, there's the baby and the dog.
The dog.
Yeah, there's an interesting story about that. That's the soundtrack from one of his early short films.
Huh. Interesting. Well, yeah, I lost it.
That's a cool Easter
times.
Egg.
Yes.
That's actually a really cool Easter egg.
Both times?
Both times.
Oh.
I swear. So, I
it's a pretty emotionally... It's,
you're
it's
a girl.
I'm a gender betrayer, but yeah, no. I totally cry in movies like that. And
that's kind of like me. I got some spam email the other day that told me I was the Hymen Destroyer. So, I think that's in the same weight class.
Hymen Destroyer, huh?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Destroyer...
I got an email, "Do you want to please your woman at night?" Not really. What do you have to say
I'm
to
not
that,
your
spammer?
Market.
Yeah.
I'm not your demographic.
What about mid-afternoon? Because I got other things going at night.
Yeah. We sleep at different times and at different rooms and now different levels of the house. So that's inconvenient timing for me.
Anything else?
Tony, I feel like I got something working its way out here. Give me a minute.
I liked Clooney's character. I want a prequel of him. I wanted... just him, just being a badass and drinking. And I want to see
like a vignette of all his stories.
You know what I would?
Like
you know what I could have done
vignettes
with?
Of all his.
Yeah, you know what I could have done with? Back in Mission Control.
Yeah, I could have done Ed Harris having a beer. Oh man, that would be so great. They're doing tequila shots and telling stories.
I could have done with one more scene, like she either pulls a radio out of her ass or something, where it's she radios in. She's like, "I was the only survivor. George Clooney broke the record."
Oh, yeah.
He set the record for longest whatever, spacewalk or whatever.
Yeah, that would have been
I would
nice.
Have done one more scene with that where she just lies and gives it to him.
That would have been awesome.
Although, it really wasn't a lie.
No.
I could have done one more
scene. When he ran out of oxygen would have been the end of it, so.
So she probably could have calculated it.
Probably.
Although, it never really says how much oxygen he has left.
No, but they imply that he can still go for a couple hours. There's an implication based on the level that he had. And
that makes it even more horrific. The movie just freaks me. As much as I love this movie, it just freaks me out
You know what? At that point, just crack the seal.
Yeah, but then...
You don't break the seal too early in the party.
Wouldn't your eyeballs explode? No. That would be...
You'd freeze to death first.
Yeah.
No, you'd just freeze to death.
You'd freeze and suffocate. It'd all be fairly quick.
Corpsicle. Though.
That's how they. That's how.
Actually, no. You would eventually be entered with all the other debris. Like,
that's not what happened. That's not what happened in 3001. They found his body floating and resurrected him.
Well, spoiler.
He's finished the story.
It was a documentary filmed in real time.
It was the book 3001.
Yeah.
Based on 2001, when Frank Poole, mm-hmm. one of the astronauts, he gets jettisoned.
Tony, spoiler, I haven't seen the movie.
You haven't seen 2001?
No. Statute of limitations on 2001 is not up yet. It's a 60-year statute of limitations.
That's gonna be episode 300.
By the way, did we talk about the Kubrick documentary?
No.
Crap. There's a Kubrick documentary where they have like these 10, we'll call them conspiracy theorists, but they're...
Is that the one that talks about the moon
land?
Okay.
About how Kubrick was the one who faked the moon landing?
Yeah, I heard that.
That's a fantastic documentary.
Well, it couldn't be Kubrick because there have been too many goddamn takes. He'd still be doing them.
I'm not saying that Kubrick faked the moon landing, but I'm saying these people present a compelling case for the crazy.
Crazies can think things through. To an in-depth level.
And they do some cool stuff. So they take The Shining and they start playing it forwards and backwards and overlay it over each other. And, like, the way things match up is just bizarre. Because, like, the opening shot's panning through the mountains, and then the last shot of the movie is the picture of Jack Torrance in the picture of the whatever. So, like, when the credit shows up, it's the picture of Jack Torrance, like, right beneath it. It's just... The matchups are cool. I'm sure they're completely unintentional.
Purely coincidental, yeah.
I'm not mistaken, Kubrick.
That's also the thing. I mean, Kubrick has them. They point out so many little things. Like
Kubrick had some. Kubrick had some deep crazy going through him.
Yeah,
he did.
Most geniuses do.
I don't think deep crazy came until later.
No, you don't just develop deep crazy. Deep crazy's there forever.
It creeps up on you,
and you. Eventually get tired of fighting it, and then you just let it take. I'm well versed in crazy.
Old friends with crazy.
We're Eskimo brothers. Hey man, I don't know what your deal is, but I found these pills in the bathroom.
What?
Oh God!
You watch The League?
Oh, not. I have not seen every episode.
You have homework. Just watch every episode of Rafi. Actually, there's a couple clips on YouTube that just are all the Rafi compilations. They're good enough by themselves.
Sure. Well, I saw the episode with Seth Rogen, so I feel like I have a good primer there.
Which one? There's a couple of them.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the latest one.
The episode.
Yeah.
That episode was talking about crazy.
That episode was awesome.
That was awesome.
He lights the car on fire. That's genius.
Get rid of the evidence. What evidence?
You told me to take care of it.
All right.
Tony, I feel like I had one more thing, but I can't remember what it was.
I'm stalling. I'm working it.
Start thinking.
No, I'm fine. It's
Clooney's
good.
Bulge. Did his suit have bad nipples?
No, I didn't see nipples or bulge. Tony, I checked, too.
I know you would. That's why I asked.
I don't know. No, I got this shit on lockdown.
I know you do.
I'm messing around over here.
I was distracted by the scenery. I knew you'd be looking for the bulge in the nips. So, no.
Listen, biology has to be accounted for, even in space. Imagine trying to bang in space. That seems like an exercise and too much work. And
tying down. Things have to be tied down.
Apparently it's...
Brace points?
Space bondage?
A lot more straps and elastic would be necessary.
They seem to have a lot of it available, so...
What I want to know is apparently it's, I've heard that it's happened, but NASA won't talk about it because they don't acknowledge that sex would happen or could happen in space. Which is,
I don't think it's a matter of could.
Listen, this isn't Planet of the Apes, all right? We don't have a woman on board just so we can watch her in stasis.
in a really, really creepy way.
Yeah.
God, the easy way would be just so to crawl into the sleep bags together. It would kind of hold you in one place.
I still think that there would be a problem with it.
I think there would be a big problem.
I think there are many problems.
Yeah.
Chief among them, the way that movement would just move you apart.
Yeah.
And not together.
Well, you'd have to be holding on.
Well, yeah, that's
straps.
Yeah, you would have to have tie downs.
Straps. Elastic bands. Like the elastic bands that movers use. Do they strap things under and lift?
Well, hold on. Are we building a whole compartment for this? Like,
will you
single purpose compartment?
I don't think you need a single purpose.
Welcome to the International Space Station. We have seven segments of the ship. These six are for life support. This seventh one is just a bag. We have like an orgy room.
Let's work this out.
Rumpus room 3.
And
this is our next Kickstarter.
Is it like interracial stuff going on like with the other space stations?
What other space stations?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in space.
That's where the docking happens.
Yes. Oh! The International Space Station.
The docking maneuver.
We have to explain docking.
I think it's better if you don't.
Leave it to the imagination.
I don't know. Docking is pretty
Everyone has Google. Just let it, we've let it ride.
We have. It's not new. Yeah, I can see tie downs.
That seems like a lot of work, Tony.
Well, they have like sleeping bags.
Yes.
Like they strap themselves in.
Yeah, but it's like having
There's chairs.
Yeah, but they're not meant for two.
Chair.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to, like, hook a leg under the chair, but then
here's the thing. You have your legs underneath it, and so you have to, like, hold on to the back of the chair, because otherwise, when you're holding on with your legs, you're just going to fall forward.
Well, you put the seatbelt on.
There's Tony, I'm not seatbelting up for the bag. It's like, they'll put on a life preserver, too.
Well, listen, if you're in space for 6 months, I think
you get creative.
First off, I'll figure it out.
All these people are engineers. I mean, they're going to work it all out.
I don't think they will.
Oh, yeah.
I think the astronauts will work it out when they're there. I don't think the engineers will work it out beforehand.
No.
Is that
no,
where
no,
they use
all
Astroglide?
Who?
Was that why it was developed? I think there's your conspiracy theory.
You'd have to improvise.
I thought Astroglide was named after Astro Boy.
Wow.
That's a stretch.
You know who was in that, don't you?
Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage. By Dr. Tendo.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Nintendo.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, get out your tube of Astrolube. Good for what? Makes your space station go.
Listen, Astro Boy was Mega Man. We're all okay with it.
Mega Man.
Yeah.
Did you say who's Mega Man?
I said he was me. I questioned if he was Mega Man.
Alright. So I was going to show you my Mega Man tattoo. Which I do not have.
Okay. I kind of doubted it to start with.
I can't swing this conversation back to Dragon Warrior.
Is that a new one?
No, I keep waffling. I want to get another tattoo, and I'm thinking about getting the Triforce. But I can't commit to that.
It's across your... It's better than the back.
I'm not doing it on the back. No. I want to be able to see it.
Well, on your chest, then. It's better than the back.
No, I'm not...
No, see, that's golden there.
It's golden. It's better in the back than the Triforce underneath it.
No, then the Triforce on your back.
No, it's better in the back. The Triforce. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
With an arrow pointing straight down.
Damn it.
There's a lot of tattoo parlors between here.
I know. I know. There's
a lot of line work, though. I mean,
yeah, whatever.
A lot of filling, too. But hey.
Listen, have you seen Melina's back?
No.
No.
No, I haven't.
Melina's back is covered. Like, it's just shoulder to shoulder. That's the, like, the rose and then the petals. And then back is just the stem, like, all the way down to her butt. She has a ton of ink.
I'm too much of a pussy.
It doesn't hurt that bad.
Except when they get to the bony parts.
Yeah, but then what, you know, what
of course,
about...
Yeah, this is the extent of the tattoos that I have, so...
And that just looks like a happy Hershey kiss.
Tony, it's a mouse slime.
I know it is.
You know what it is.
But it looks like a very happy Hershey's kiss.
I also kind of want to get the Brotherhood of Nod symbol tattooed on me from Command and Conquer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Only I can't find a good picture of it online. And I don't trust...
The internet fails you in that?
Yeah, you would be surprised how hard it is to get a good picture of it. Just That's the red strange. Background, the black stuff? Because they usually do the silver one.
Mm.
I don't want the silver one. Silver
if only you knew an artist.
If only. Several.
One competent one. Who works fairly inexpensively.
Competent is...
And he's available.
First off, he does good work, but competent is not the issue. We'll finish the project is the issue, and he finishes.
Yeah, he does.
That's
Yeah.
That's the golden nugget right there.
An artist who finishes projects, yeah.
I would take an artist of lower quality who finished the work over one who is much better any day of the week.
But his... Quality is not even in question.
No, his quality is not it's even great. In question, but that's not why I keep giving him money.
I like the work he does. That's why I give him money.
I also like the work he does. The work he does is fantastic. I've given him much money over the
I think
years.
You give him a lot more than I have.
That was right. Jimmy.
Yep. Call us, David, because we miss you. If you're still
see
listening.
I on the Minecraft server every once in a while.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I'm not getting into that. I messed around with the demo. I don't think
what?
It's for me.
Yeah, it's for you.
It's not.
Tony, I'm breeding really pigs now, man.
It sounds like work.
I'm living the life.
I guess. I saw Kane eating carrots for making pigs.
Yeah, you got to feed them to breed them. That's how you tame horses, too. More, yeah, I can be
bouncing. It sounds like a whole lot of work.
It is
yeah,
a whole lot
Yeah, that sounds
of work.
Like
Oh, yeah. No, it's a second
fun.
Job. No, it's... Fun is not what the goal is. You know when you build something and you look at it and you're like, I did that. That's what the entire game is.
Yeah.
This seems like...
No doubt that was the thought of the guy who built the Starship Enterprise in the game.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. I've heard Minecraft being likened to Legos. And I'm going to take that analogy one step further in that it's always so much more fun to just... get instructions and put all the pieces together than to try and build anything out of the Legos freeform. I would rather just sit back and look at what someone has done
really?
Than to do it myself. Aww. It's just too much work.
It's creative, though. I built a gigantic Triforce with a sword going through it. I set it on top of my Citadel. It was awesome.
Also made out of Legos.
If the weird dude that cornered me at Sausage Fest to talk about
I'm right here.
Everything...
Wait, was that the guy
was
who called him a terrorist?
Was that Kripke?
I don't know. Kripke. It was the guy who could not stop talking to me about
oh, yes.
everything that he
yes,
had built in Minecraft.
Oh.
And
everything else.
And from what little I know about this game, everything as he kept going on, I'm like, this has got to be hundreds of hours of work, man.
Hundreds. More like thousands.
And I don't give a shit. And yet he is still talking to me, and I feel bad.
You know what?
That's one
thing I learned at Archon, is that there are people that they have social disorders. They don't.
Yeah.
This is not just an Archon exclusive.
No, it's not. No. This is where I really learned it. this is where I hit home.
It's a special kind of social
maladaption. It's concentrated.
Yeah.
It is absolutely concentrated.
Archon is a beacon.
It is an Archon. Whoa. But yeah, like, if you show them, like, any level of interest in the thing they love, they're like, oh my god, this is someone I can talk to about
this.
Because they have nothing in their life.
Culture in general.
Yeah, it's
weird.
This
is why I hate nerds.
It's bad. It's bad. And they will sit there and talk to you forever. And they don't get the social cues of, like, looking at your phone, playing a game on your phone while they're talking.
Or are you saying I don't want to talk
walking
about
away
this
and talking to somebody else?
Yeah. Yes, they don't.
I would invoke the harassment policy right then and there. Somebody starts talking.
Grabbed his nuts.
This guy's harassing me.
Did you ever remember that other thing?
Or no, Tommy.
End this
oh,
now?
I thought we weren't waiting for it anymore.
All right.
It's gone.
Next week, the conversation.
Tony, I got
conversation
it.
About
I got
the conversation.
It. So, what previews were at the beginning of your movie when you saw it? There's one ridiculous movie preview that I saw.
Ender's Game?
I didn't see that.
About Time?
No, I didn't see that one either. But Melina showed me the trailer for that when she got home from whatever else she saw. She's like, this is...
I saw that.
You are already wet for this movie.
I know. I was like, I was watching the trailer. I was like, Adam's got an erection right now, and he doesn't know why.
Yeah.
It's this.
Yeah, but it could be like any number of things throughout the book. One of the 100 random erections I get a day could have been for anything.
Right. All right.
Random.
I don't remember the other ones. What was... What
so there's a movie, not 47 Ronin, which I am ridiculously excited
I haven't seen the trailer for that yet.
It's a silly trailer.
It's the movie where Stallone and De Niro
oh, yes.
are going to box each yes. other.
Yes.
I thought it was a joke,
I
but
saw
it's
that.
Not.
No. Well, I'm thinking, it's like, okay, I can see Stallone, but De Niro. And then I was like, oh,
Raging Bull.
Yeah. Halfway through the trailer, I was like, oh, Raging Bull, of course he's going to do course. This. Yeah.
I'm actually kind of excited for that, too. I don't know why, because I haven't seen Rocky or Raging Bull.
Yeah, but that's the thinnest of thin premises. And the fact that somebody was like, yeah, two old guys that are going to box,
and
let's
they
just
got,
throw money at that. Just...
And they got Stallone and De Niro to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Stallone will do...
Stallone will do anything.
Anything.
Just, yeah. Expendable anything.
If it means he gets to be shirtless, he will do anything.
You know what? I
still
would
looks good
if
shirtless.
If yeah, if
he
I
does.
Looked that good shirtless, I would never wear a shirt.
Sure.
Ever.
Sure.
But you have that chest hair that's awful to look at.
Yeah.
Stop it. Gross. I long for a day that I'm never going to see where humanity has just shed all hair and moved on with their life, except for goatees and beards, which at that point women will have started wearing. So everybody can have a beard and goatee, and it'll be perfectly natural. But no other body hair. That's my
idea.
That's me looking into the future for a better world. Like, if I was going to have children, that's the legacy I want to leave for them. A hairless world filled with beards and mustaches.
There was
Fu Manchu.
There were obviously very specific rewrites to this movie based on having those two actors in it, though. Like, from some of the stuff I saw in the trailer. Like, I don't remember specifically for the De Niro one at the moment, but... There was something De Niro did, it was like Raging Bull. I mean, it just said Raging Bull. But for Stallone, when he's in the meat locker, and he goes to punch one of them, it's like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Really super dated callbacks, because why not?
Because I'll pay the money to see the movie.
Well, when... I didn't even notice what the... Did you notice what the release date was?
No.
No.
I don't even remember what the name of the movie is.
Listen, my father-in-law is obsessed with Thor. So the only release date I saw was the Thor release date. It's soon.
Yeah. Oh,
that
I know it's soon.
That one's like a week from now.
I know.
I know it's soon. I
can't
have...
wait to go to the dark world, Tony. And this is not just some sort of euphemism for anal.
I'm curious to see what Days of Futures Past is going to be. I've seen the trailer, and I kind of like it. But I'm not real sure.
I don't hate X-Men First Class like Paul does.
I like X-Men
For some reason. I don't know why Paul hates...
I don't get his
Paul
hate.
Hates it because it's good.
He has some weird things that he just like... He like randomly hates things, I think, just to get a rise out of people.
I know he does. Well, yeah. No, I got nothing. That wasn't...
That's like what hipsters do.
Yeah.
Well...
That's really unattractive. Yeah,
I don't think you've met Paul yet.
Clearly I haven't.
Paul's a little bit of a hipster.
Oh.
Paul's very nice. Oh, wait, no. No, Paul's not. Paul's a dick.
What?
Yeah.
What?
There's an announced movie called Creed that Stallone is rumored to be in playing Rocky Balboa.
Oh, come on. Maybe Rocky Balboa is...
Grudge Match is the name of
the
film.
Lead singer of Creed, and this is going to be a rockumentary.
I'm in for
I would
that.
Rather see
I'm
that
in for
movie.
That.
And I
frankly.
Hate Creed.
Yeah,
passion.
nobody likes
Melina
Creed.
Melina likes Creed.
Oh.
I said it.
Oh.
I don't even know if that's true. But I said it anyway. she can deal with the shame of the accusation for the rest of her life.
This movie is called Grudge Match, and its release date is the 25th of December.
That makes
present
sense.
To me.
It is a movie you can get old people to go to.
Yep.
That totally makes sense.
Kim I thought Basinger, I heard Death Alan Arkin. The old people in the theater today.
Old people love going to movies. They go all the time.
I know. I think some of them didn't have 3D glasses on. Why does the movie look funny? Excellent.
Henry Razor Sharp and Billy the Kid McDonnan.
Yeah, I can't.
Kim Basinger plays a character named Sally Rose.
I saw that.
Kevin Hart's character's name is Dante Slade Jr.
Who wrote this movie?
Alan Arkin's name is Lightning.
See, Alan Arkin's like, shut up.
I want to know who is responsible.
Are you calling me that because I have an extensive vocabulary?
The story was...
Or because of my race and size? Oh no, it's definitely because you're short and black.
That was good.
Alan Arkin's hilarious. That guy's great.
Tim Kelleher and Rodney Rothman.
He just made up names now.
Mostly.
Rothman Furniture.
Timothy Kelleher's got the... He's credited with the story and... partially writing the script.
I also heard
His writing credits include The Pat Sajak Show, Empty Nest,
what?
The Arsenio Hall Show, back in the 89 to 93 run, In Living Color in 93, First Kid,
keep going,
The Garbage Picking Field Goal Kicking Philadelphia Phenomenon.
If that's about the Eagles, that's the worst.
Yeah. Off Center, Rock Me Baby. He was the series creator and writer.
I don't know what that is.
Living with Fran.
Keep going.
And now this movie. The last thing he did was he did three episodes of this Living with Fran show that I don't even know what that was.
Tony, this guy seems like the worst human being alive.
He made a Sinbad movie. First Kid.
Sounds to me like this guy is responsible for war crimes.
Now, here it is.
Oh, here it is.
So the other guy who's credited with the screen.
This guy better not be a genius.
He's written for Letterman.
Yeah.
He was the head writer for Letterman for 3 years.
All right.
He wrote a couple of episodes of Undeclared.
All right.
A couple episodes of Committed.
Mm-mm.
He wrote material for the Jon Stewart Academy Awards.
Okay. Yeah, everybody.
He is. He has the screenplay for 22 Jump Street.
Oh.
Not 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, I heard what you said.
22 Jump Street.
I would watch another one of those movies, Tony.
It's
so
filming right now.
Fast, yes. Oh, I hope Brie Larson's in it again. I've had an unnatural sexual fascination with her since Scott Pilgrim.
I don't.
And you know how I feel about Scott
I know
Pilgrim.
How you feel about Scott Pilgrim.
Tell me.
Yes, I know.
Wait, how do you feel about Scott Pilgrim?
I love Scott Pilgrim.
I do, too.
All right. Well, then you can stay. Tony has to go, though.
He's tried to kick me out for how I feel about Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. He doesn't have the appropriate feeling for Watchmen, either.
I don't understand why you think that.
Because you don't love it as much as I do.
Nobody loves it as much as you do.
That's accurate.
But everybody should love it.
Yeah.
I do.
It's the best movie that's ever been made.
It's one. No.
Number one. It beat out Shawshank. Tony, it's science.
Oh?
You know how you saw Gravity twice?
Yeah.
I saw Watchmen 4 times, and 2 of those times I paid for another couple to go with us so they could enjoy the movie.
Nice.
I made Luke and Kim go with us, and I paid for the tickets.
Wow.
Tony, I'm hardcore, man.
I own the... It's one of the few DVDs that I've bought in the last... Three
I wouldn't
four
buy
years.
The DVD, but...
I have the super-duper director's cut.
Yeah.
With all the shit.
The one with the Black Freighter in it and all that?
I still haven't watched it. But I own it.
Well, like an hour and a half long interview with Dan Dreiberg around his erectile dysfunction?
Probably.
God damn, I hate Night Owl so much.
Then again, it was only like a year. Was it? Well, no, it was when we did 200. It was 2 years ago now. We did Backseat Producers 200.
200 and 200 with T?
No, that was 100 and 100. We did.
No.
We did. Yes.
Tony, I'm telling you, it was 200 and 200.
No, 200 was Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, because it was at Archon.
Yeah. So that was the first time I sat down and watched all 3 extended editions.
Oh,
I've owned
God,
them for years.
So bad.
That was the bladder buster. That was the bladder buster. Two hours of drinking beer. We had a keg at our...
In the room. It was the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've been watching The Hobbit a lot. Because it's on HBO right now.
I've only seen it the one time in the theater.
I like it every time. I like it more every time I see it.
I'm excited for Desolation of Smaug.
Me too.
It's going to be tough to make that episode 300. Because it releases on Friday, and we release that following Monday.
Not for me, Tony.
We'll just have to...
Tony, you know who this guy is? This is the guy that always gets tickets. Hot mic. Oh, come on with the hot mic.
We'll have to record immediately after watching
it. Actually, well...
Hold on a minute.
Hot mic probably wouldn't be a problem for most of us. Luke's not here, so he's probably
That's true.
Yeah. Just allergies. What? That's not how allergies work, doctor.
All right, let's be done. Next week, the conversation.
Tony, I was done like 20 minutes ago.
No, I was good. I was ready to end it, and then you finally remembered your
Tony,
thing.
It was like a 45-minute episode.
Now it's an hour and 15 minutes.
Someone's got to bring content to the show, Tony. It's only 10:25.